Father in heaven, we thank you that your mercy is new every morning and your faithfulness is great towards your people because you have made promises to look after us, to care for your children. Father, we pray that you will help us to build our faith, Father, in the character, your loving, caring character, Father, that you will provide for us. You are a Father that provides, that cares, that loves your children. And Father, we pray now as we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. Father, help us to understand these words. Father, help us to realize that we do not have to be anxious about today, about tomorrow, about the future, because we know that you are here with us and you care for us. You promise to be with us. And Father, we pray that you will help us to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, we read from Matthew chapter 6, from verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient to the day is its own trouble. This is the word of God. Now, the message of this morning is anxiety, the causes of anxiety, and we can say the reasons why we should not be anxious. Now, I'm going to try today to do justice to this passage of Scripture, but I think I'll have to preach on it next week again because there's so many things that I want to mention. So first of all, we have to say that we have to emphasize that Jesus was speaking to his disciples. The Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 to 7, deals with those who are inside the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we see in this passage. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He was speaking to the children of God, those who have a Father, a loving Father. Now, we started our series in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 last year with the Beatitudes, and they describe those who are blessed by the Father. Later on in chapter 5 of Matthew, we saw Jesus describing the surpassing righteousness that each child of God must exhibit, like not lusting and not being angry without a cause and keeping your word and loving your enemies and so on. And then in chapter 6, we saw how Christians must pray to God and how they must give, not in pretense, not for a show, not like actors, not like the hypocrites, not to be seen by others, not to impress others, but they must live their Christian life to the glory of God alone. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 25, and Jesus was addressing our relationship to the world, that we should not love the world. That there are two problems in our relationship to the world. We can either love the world too much, and we looked at that from verse 19 to 25. And Jesus said, your eye must be single. You must be laying up treasures in heaven and not on earth. You must not be materialistic. You must not love the world. But here in from chapter 6, 25 to 34, we deal with another problem that we have in our relationship to the world, and that is fear. And we can say the problem of worry, the problem of anxiety. Now, this issue of anxiety is a very common one, and many people suffer because of it. But both these sinful attitudes towards the world that Christians have, that of loving the world too much, or those of that of anxiety towards the world, have the same root problem. And that root problem is preoccupation with the world. Preoccupation with the world. In a sense, it is a tricky thing for us as Christians, because God has called us to be in the world, to make a difference in the world. And we have to rub shoulders with the world. But at the same time, we shouldn't be anxious. We shouldn't be worried about the things of the world. And that's sometimes a difficult thing. How do we live and stay in the world and not be anxious? Now, you shouldn't say we should withdraw from the world. We should go and live in the mountains. We should go and, you know, live in monasteries and live in secluded places. That's the wrong answer. That's not what Jesus wants us to do. Now, in this passage, it's very clear that the issue is anxiety. Five times this word of being anxious is used in this passage. And the relation that, the way that Jesus formulates this passage is basically saying that we shouldn't be anxious about our daily necessities. What we should eat, what we should drink, and what we should wear. And we can apply that to other things as well. Where we should live, what job we should have, will we have enough things for our livelihood? It basically deals with anxiety in relation to daily necessities. Now you might think, you know, the rich don't really have problems. This passage is actually meant for only the poor, because the poor don't know if they're going to have enough money. The poor don't know if they're going to have a job tomorrow. But this passage doesn't only relate to the people that are poor, but also to the rich, because the rich also have a lot of worries. They handle more money, and they very quickly can lose thousands and millions of rands or dollars or whatever other currency they might have, because, you know, they can worry that their stock market suddenly crashes, or that an evil government decides to confiscate property or nationalize businesses, or, like we have today, the global virus is sweeping across the nation and is causing havoc in businesses. So even the rich are worrying about a lot of things during these times. So this passage is not only meant for the poor, but it's for the rich, for everybody. In times like these, where we are living in COVID-19 days, a lot of people have a lot of fears and they have a lot of anxiety. In South Africa, we fear that people might lose their jobs. People say that many small businesses are going to go bankrupt. And sometimes these fears are legitimate. We can have these fears. If you look globally at the crisis and the death toll rising because of the virus, people say that there's a lot to be worried about. Some say it is the beginning of the end of the world. We are in a global recession, and it may take years to recover from the damage of this virus. Even if the virus all of a sudden clears up, there will be long-term repercussions because of what we are involved in. And there are also a lot of theories going around, conspiracy theories. Some people say that this virus was planned by evil people, evil governments, and we are on the brink of the new world order, whereby everybody's movements and interactions are going to be monitored like they do and have done in China. They say this is the start of this whole new world order. And some say the world is never going to be the same again. So there's a lot of things that we can be jacked up about. We can be worried about during these times. And it is as if this text, Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34, was tailor-made for times like these. I want to assure you, first of all, that times have been worse in history than it is now. The Church of Jesus Christ has gone through more difficult times. Just think about the First and the Second World War. During the First World War, 20 million people died. After that, there was the Spanish flu. 50 million people, roughly, died during that time. The Second World War, more than 50 million people died during the Second World War globally. Back in the 14th century, the bubonic plague, a third of Europe was wiped out. They say about 300 million people globally was wiped out. Wars and plagues are not new to our existence. They have gone... they have been prevalent throughout the history of the world. So what would Jesus say to us in times like these? He would be saying the same thing as he was always saying to his disciples and what he was saying to his church. Three times, Jesus repeats in our text, "Do not be anxious." Do not be anxious. Verse 25, verse 31, verse 34. Do not be anxious. But he doesn't simply say, do not be anxious. Every time before he says, do not be anxious, there's a reason. There's a very good reason why you should not be anxious. He said, the word that goes before do not be anxious, therefore. Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious. Therefore, do not be anxious. Therefore, do not be anxious. There are very good reasons for Christians not to worry, not to be anxious. And I want to list here today, I want to show you from the text, I want to list 8 reasons Jesus provides why you and I, as believers of Jesus Christ, should not be anxious. But before we go to the 8 reasons, there are 4 reasons that I just want to show that basically causes anxiety. And we will look at that first. We'll first look at the causes of anxiety, and then we'll look at 8 reasons why you shouldn't be anxious. So first of all, let's look at the causes. The first reason why people are anxious is because of the previous section, verse 19 to 24. People are serving mammon. People are preoccupied with material things. They are laying up treasures on earth. Their eye is not single, it's divided. And that is the reason why so many people today are anxious. Because their hearts are set on earthly things. And they are getting worried. Oh, am I going to lose my stuff? Am I going to lose this and that? Am I going to lose my investments? Am I going to lose this and that? Now, it's not necessarily wrong to have investments. But people's focus is not on heavenly things. Their focus is on earthly things. And their main aim and their main focus in this life is on possessions, prestige, power, pride, and sinful pleasures. And because their focus is on the things of the world, that's why they are so anxious. Because, you know, if your sense of security and sense of well-being are on those things, if those things are taken away, then you are in depression. You suffer from depression. You see, why do so many famous people suffer from depression? Why are so many famous people, addicted to alcohol and drugs? It's because they've lost their fame along the way. They're not as important as they want to be, and therefore they're anxious. You see, if your mind and your heart is fixed on earthly things, You're always thinking, I might lose those things. I might lose those things. And if I lose those things, what will happen to me? I will not be famous. I will not be rich anymore. So, and therefore, they end up with, they're anxious people because their treasure is on the things of the earth. Fixing our eyes on possessions, prestige, power, pleasure and pride. In other words, a preoccupation with the world always brings anxiety because you can't get lasting security, safety and peace of mind if you are fixing your eyes and your mind on the things of this earth. You see, those things, power, prestige, possessions, they cannot answer the big questions of life. Why am I here for? What is my purpose? Where do I find lasting peace and security? What happens to me when I die? See, those things cannot, they cannot help you. And therefore, people are anxious. That's the first reason why people are anxious. Second reason, people over-contemplate world events and how they would affect us. They are preoccupied with the news and social media. The Bible tells us plainly that we should be wise as serpents. We should understand the times in which we live in. We should know the world and its thinking and be watchful. Yes, that's all true. But at the same time, we should be careful not to be sucked into the worry and the cares of this world. We can become so preoccupied with paying bills, going to work, beating traffic, sporting events, and the latest health crisis, or the newest fad, or social media, or the news, that it sucks us into its grip. We become stuck in spiritual quicksand, and we start drowning in it. We lose sight of the bigger picture. We lose contact with God in all our business. Our aim in life becomes earthly. And we are more focused on things of the earth. We become so earthly minded and so health conscious and so security conscious. I'm not saying being health conscious and security conscious is necessarily wrong, but we become so health conscious and security conscious that we become so preoccupied with work and family and so on that we are sucked into this world and the worries and the cares of this world. Facebook, social media, the news, YouTube sucks us into its whirlpool. We over-contemplate world events and news. And the things that has happened affect us so much we get anxious. We just think about the things of the world. We think too much about what's going on, all the wrong things that's going on. That's the second reason why people become anxious. It's the third reason. We over-contemplate our unique circumstances, our needs, our family needs for the future. When we think about future possibilities, future probabilities, future eventualities, and we think what bad things can happen to us in South Africa and the world and Eskom and all the wrong things and the virus and World War III or the New World Order, you will not be able to live in the now, here and now. You see, that is how worry takes a hold of you. You live either in the past or in the future. And you live in the future of possible catastrophes, and the fear grips your heart to such an extent you can't get out of it. You are paralyzed, in effect. You get into quicksand and you start to sink. You can't get out. You are so paralyzed with fear. And that fear immobilizes you, it paralyzes you, and it sucks out all the energy out of you. That is why Jesus said at the end of this passage in verse 34, "Do not be anxious, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Why did Jesus say that? He wanted us to not live in a future future disorderly world. He didn't want us to live in an imaginary world, a world of worst case scenarios. God doesn't want us to live there. God wants us to live in the here and in the now. We don't have control over the coronavirus and when it will stop and all the other eventualities, terrorist attacks, the possibility of the stock market crashing, or nuclear missiles, or socialist takeovers. You and I cannot control those things. We are not in control of those things. We are not supposed to worry about such future possibilities. That's the third reason why we shouldn't, or the causes of worry. The fourth reason: little faith in God's sovereignty, providence, provision, and care. That's the fourth reason why people worry or are anxious. In verse 30, Christ reprimands his disciples that they have little faith. And he draws the conclusion that the reason for the anxiety is that they have little faith. So we should ask, little faith on what or who? And the answer is, little faith in God's ability to provide and care. That's the reason. That's the crux of the matter. When people have a small view of God, if they have an inadequate understanding of God, of God's fatherly care and love and provision and sovereignty, when they have a deficient view of God, worry is inevitable. Yes, we know that God tests us. God gives us difficult things to handle. God gives us health crises. And God gives us different things to overcome. But you see, when the test comes, it will show how big your faith is, or we should say, what your belief in God is. If you stock up your mind with thoughts of God, with scripture, with God's promises and care, of care and love and provision and reign over all your life, you will not be an anxious person. The bottom line is, people are anxious because they misunderstand God's reign over the world and his sovereignty. They feel they are a victim to world events. They are a victim to chance. And if you believe that chance is ruling the earth, that God is not really in control of this earth, that things happen to us haphazardly, and things are out of God's control, you're going to be an anxious person. You're going to be an anxious person. Evil things, bad things, and difficult circumstances, and suffering, and tribulation in your life doesn't happen by chance. It happens by God ordaining it to happen. Nothing escapes the sovereignty of God. And that's the thing that we have to realize. People get anxious because they do not believe that God is in absolute control over this virus. God is in absolute control over world events. God is. God is sovereign. That's what the Bible teaches. So that's the reason why, the four reasons why people are anxious. It's a misunderstanding of God's sovereignty. It's a preoccupation with possessions and laying up treasures on earth, and it's a preoccupation with the news, the world media, and about future possibilities. That's why people get anxious. So now what I want to do is I want to look at the cure. I want to give you eight reasons, briefly, why you shouldn't be anxious. Verse 25 reads, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Now verse 25 starts with "therefore." Now Jesus said, "Therefore, do not be anxious." He was looking at the things that went before, what he said before, verse 19 to 24. He was referring to those things. He said, if your treasure is in heaven, if your treasure is not on earth, if your mind is on heavenly things, if you are not If your aim in life is not to get stuff on this earth, if your aim in life is to lay up treasures in heaven, if you're absolutely devoted to God and His kingdom, then you don't have to be worried. So Jesus therefore said, He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious. If God is your treasure, if you are laying up treasures in heaven, if you are one of God's children, even if they take away your food and your clothes and your job and everything, even if you lose your life, you don't have to be anxious. Why? Because you have an inheritance in heaven. You have an inheritance in the saints. You have an inheritance that's undefiled, incorruptible, and unfading. And that's the first reason why you shouldn't be anxious. Your treasure is in heaven, which cannot be destroyed. So don't worry about what you should eat, what you should drink, what you should wear, because even if those things are taken away, you will still have a treasure in heaven because you belong to Jesus Christ. That's the first reason. You see, many of us like to sing, "All I have is Christ." You know that song that we sometimes sing, or "Knowing you, Jesus, is all I want." There's no greater thing than knowing Jesus. But you see, many times Christians live as practical atheists. We trust God for our salvation, that God will take away our sins. But when it comes to the daily activities of life, we seem to have no faith at all. It's like our faith goes out the window. And that's what Jesus is addressing here. If you believe that Jesus is your Savior, if He died for you on the cross and He paid for your sins, if He dealt with your sin in such a remarkable way at the cross 2,000 years ago, will He not care for you in your daily necessities? Of course He will. God said, "No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly." Psalm 84 verse 11. That's the first reason. You shouldn't worry. You shouldn't be anxious because your treasure is in heaven. God has prepared it for you and it's incorruptible. It cannot be destroyed. And therefore, don't worry about things of the earth. Second reason. Jesus asks in verse 25, "Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" So what is the second reason? There is more to life than food and drink and clothing. In other words, there are more important things to be concerned about than what you should eat, what you should drink, where you should live, your job. There's more important things to be concerned about. Eternal things, righteousness, the kingdom of God, love, faith, generosity, showing mercy, pursuing justice and righteousness. There are more important things to think about than food, clothing, and where you will stay, your daily necessities. That's the second reason Jesus provides. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? There is more to life about than daily necessities. That's the second reason. Third reason. God provides for the food. God provides food for the birds. So if you who are more valuable than they, if God provides for you, let me say that again. If God provides for the birds and you are more valuable than they, then God will provide for you as well. That's basically it. So we read in verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Then verse 31, we see the second therefore. And everything that comes from verse 26 to verse 30, basically Jesus is giving a few arguments. He's giving a few reasons why you should not be anxious. Jesus points His disciples to look at the birds. "They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Now think about birds for a moment. How does God feed them? This is a misunderstanding that I just want to clarify. How does God feed the birds? Does God come with, you know, are the birds the whole time there in their nest and God comes and feeds them there in the nest? No, that's not how God feeds them. You see, the birds have to go to the ground and to other trees and so on and fly all over to gather sticks to build a nest. And they gather insects and worms and all kinds of things to feed the chicks and feed themselves. They have to go out. They have to follow their instincts. And the same with us. This text doesn't say that we shouldn't sow and reap and gather into barns. God is not against the farming industry. God, it is essential. God wants us to work in this life. In fact, Paul says if we do not work, we should not eat. God wants us to work 6 days a week. God wants us to provide for our families. God wants us to work. But you see, God provides the raw materials, as he does for the birds. God provides for the animals. God provides for the fish in the sea. How does he do that? Well, he makes the sun to shine. And it emits energy and heat, and we get life, we get photosynthesis. And God has provided seed across the world, and he makes it to rain. God has provided raw materials, and all these things allow the birds to live and all the other animals. God is the ultimate source behind feeding, we can say, the birds. So that's the same applies to us. Even though we should work, and even though we should labor, God is the ultimate one who will provide for us, because he makes the sun to shine, he makes it rain. And because of all these things, and because he has created the atmosphere and so on, God will provide for us. And Jesus said here, are you not of more value than they? Now, God is providing for the birds. He's feeding the birds. He's feeding the animals. He's feeding the mammals. He's feeding the reptiles and the fish in the sea. He's feeding everything in nature. Are you not more valuable than they? See, Jesus is using this argument from the lesser to the greater. You see, if you are a child of God, you know how valuable you are. Jesus Christ left his throne in heaven and he died on a cross. That's how valuable you are. To set you free from your sin so that you can be forgiven, so that you can have a place in heaven. That's what God did for us through Jesus Christ. That's how valuable you are in the sight of God. And if God values you so much, he will take care of the daily necessities. You see, if God cares for the birds and he cares for the animals, if he cares for the birds and the animals, and they tomorrow they die, they have no soul, they perish. If God cares for them, he will much more care for us who are his children. You see, that's the second reason, or the third reason, sorry, why we should not be worried. If Jesus died for us, Jesus will die, or Jesus will provide. God will provide for our daily necessities. If God provides for the birds, if God provides for the fish in the sea, he will provide for us as well, because we are more valuable than all the animal kingdom and the insects and so on. The fourth reason why you shouldn't be anxious. Anxiety is futile. It doesn't change anything. Listen to verse 27. Jesus said, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Our lives, the length of our lives, have been determined by God. When we will live, where we will live, how long we will live, where we will die. We see this in Psalm 139. God has appointed how many days you will live. And you by worrying doesn't add an hour to your life. Doesn't add a day, 10 days or a year or anything. In fact, worry is medically proven. Stress, worry is a major reason or contributes to heart attacks and strokes. So by worrying and being anxious all the time about tomorrow and about today, you can actually make your life shorter. So there's no benefit to anxiety. It has no advantage to you. It is a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. It is absolute waste. That's what Jesus said. You cannot add a single hour to your span of life by being anxious. So because it is futile, because it is a waste of time and energy, don't be anxious. That's the fourth reason. Then we go on to verse 28 to 30. Jesus says, "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yes, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Now again, Jesus here again is using an argument, arguing from the lesser to the greater. Jesus is saying, look, I clothe the flowers in the field with beauty. The wild flowers, the roses, the daffodils, and all different kinds of plants and trees and animals. I clothe them with beauty, and they are more beautiful than Solomon in all his glory. And if I am clothing the flowers in the field and the roses and the rose gardens, if I clothe them, if I have concern over the flowers in the field that today is here and tomorrow they are scorched by the heat of the sun and they wither, if God does that, how much more will he clothe you? What is the argument? You are much more valuable than lilies and wild flowers and roses and the plants of the earth. And God has concern for them. God clothes them. Will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. We have to say, of course God will clothe you. Of course God will provide in you because you have much more value than birds and plants and flowers. God will clothe you. Why? Because you are valuable as a child of God in God's sight. Jesus Christ died for you. Again, that's the reason. You are so valuable in the sight of God that God left his throne in heaven and he went to the cross and he bore the wrath that you and I deserve and he paid the debt, the punishment for sin. He died on the cross so that you and I can have eternal life. That's how much value you and I have in the sight of God. Therefore, don't be anxious. God clothes the plants, the flowers, with beauty, and so he will clothe you. That's the fifth reason. Now we go on to the sixth reason, verse 31 and verse 32. Jesus says, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." So verse 31 looks back and it looks forward as well. Therefore, is all these things, I'm looking after the birds, I'm looking after the lilies of the field, and anxiety is futile. Therefore, don't be anxious. Anxiety is futile. Therefore, don't be anxious. But then he says, "For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need." It's actually two reasons here. You know, you are not a Gentile. You have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Gentiles, they are concerned about food, drink. You know why? Because this life is all they have. They have nothing else. Heaven is not for them. All they have is this life. The earthly families, the earthly job, the earthly possessions. And when they die, they're done. They will be condemned. That's why they are anxious about this life, the things of this life. But you, child of God, you are not a Gentile. You are not an unbeliever. And because you are not an unbeliever, you have a Father in heaven. And he knows exactly what you need. And God is able to provide. He has the ability to give you everything that you need for now and for all eternity. And that's the sixth reason. God knows your needs. You have a Father and he's omnipotent. He's able to provide in your needs. Therefore, don't be anxious. You're not an unbeliever. You have a Father in heaven. You have been adopted into his family. Therefore, don't be anxious. God knows what you need. Remember Matthew chapter 6. Before we pray, we should know that God knows what we're going to pray before we pray. Therefore, don't use many words. God knows. God is omniscient. He knows exactly what you need. Therefore, don't be anxious. The seventh reason why you shouldn't be anxious. Verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So what do we find here? We find a promise of God. God promises that He will provide. That's amazing. You see, if God is God, if God is our God and Father, if He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, if He's the sustainer of life as we know it, if He's our God, and He, as the Bible says, cannot lie, He cannot speak lies, He cannot be deceitful, and if He promises us, He will provide for us if we seek Him first, if He's first in our life, if He's the most important being in our life, if that is true, if you seek Him, if He's your God, if Jesus is your Savior, if the Holy Spirit is your guide, then don't be worried, because He promised, and He cannot lie, He will provide in your needs. He will. All these things will be added unto you. God promises, and God cannot lie. Therefore, don't be anxious. Believe in God. Don't be anxious, because God promised that He will provide in all your needs, now and for the future and up into eternity. That's the seventh reason. The last reason why you shouldn't be worried. Verse 34. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself, and there will be enough trouble. Therefore, don't be anxious. Jesus says in verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What is Jesus saying here? Every day has its own problems. Live for today. Be fully in the moment every day. If you are fully in the moment every day, you will not have the time or the energy to worry about tomorrow. The future is in God's hands. God is in the future. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The future belongs to God. The past belongs to God. The present belongs to God. Don't waste your time about worrying about tomorrow. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't plan and we shouldn't make plans for tomorrow. I'm not saying that at all. Don't be worried, preoccupied about future possibilities, probabilities, and possible future catastrophes. Don't be worried about that. God wants you to live in the now. Because if you're all the time living for the future, you're going to be worried. But God has the future in His hand, in His power. The future is God's future. Therefore, don't be worried. The future is not in the hands of evil people. The future is not in the hands of the devil. The future is not in the hands of the kingdom of darkness. The future belongs to Christ. And the increase of His government, there will be no end. Therefore, don't be worried. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. So, and to sum up, 8 reasons why you shouldn't be anxious. Firstly, you have a treasure in heaven that's undefiled, unfading, imperishable for the child of God. Child of God, that's the first reason. Second reason, there are more important things to be concerned about than daily necessities. Righteousness, kingdom of God, love, faith, generosity. Third reason, you are more valuable to God than birds, and God cares for the birds. Therefore, God will care for you. You are more valuable to God than birds, and God cares for them. Fourth reason, anxiety is futile. It doesn't change anything. Therefore, don't be anxious. Fifth reason, you are more valuable than flowers that God clothes beautifully every day. Therefore, don't be anxious, because God will clothe you as well. You are a child of God. You are more valuable than flowers. Sixth reason, God knows your needs and He will provide for you because He's able. He's the God of the universe. He knows your needs and He will provide for you. That's the sixth reason. Seventh reason, God has promised to provide for you, for all your needs, and he cannot lie. God is a God of truth. Don't be worried. God promised he will. Don't be worried. Last reason. God holds the future in his hands, in his power. Therefore, leave it with him. God is in the future already. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be worried about the future. God, the future belongs to God. And therefore, there are so many reasons in this text that we see that we don't have to be worried. We don't have to be anxious people because God is our God. And these things are applicable for those who believe in Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ, if he's your Savior, if God is your Father, if the Holy Spirit is your guide, you have no reason whatsoever to be anxious because God is for you. Who can be against us? Let's pray. Father in heaven, you're a glorious God. You're sovereign over all. You provide for the birds, for the flowers. You clothe them, you feed them. You provide for this whole universe, the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the animals, the insects. You are our provider. You are our sustainer. You sustain life on this planet. And Father, even though we don't know what's going to happen in the future, we know you are in the future. And through Jesus Christ, our sins can be forgiven. We can have an eternal inheritance in heaven. And we can have a sure hope that we will be with you forever. Even if the world crumbles and are destroyed, Father, we know we don't have to be worried. We don't have to be anxious. Because our treasure is in heaven and you are with us. Jesus is with us. Jesus died for us. Jesus rose from the dead. So even death cannot separate us from you. Father, we pray that you will banish anxiety out of our lives and fill us with faith in your providential care, your sovereignty, your love, and your care for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.